Vishal. Welcome to Simply Safe Podcast.
Thank you, Abhinav.
First of all, can we begin with a brief overview of the debt markets? I mean, the performance over the past few years.
So, yes, Abhinav. So, I think bond markets in India have been steadily growing, and it's really tied to the growth of the economy. Currently, the outstanding bond markets in India stand at about $2.5 trillion as of data of September 2023. And it has kind of seen a robust 13 to 14% CAGR growth in the last five to six years. Markets have done fairly well. I think last 3-4 years from heading into COVID and the emergence thereafter, though we have seen rate hikes in conjunction with global markets, RBI has been on a pause since last year, February. And if I see the kind of volatility or the yield ranges that, you know, government securities, et cetera, have taken, we've been fairly benign as compared to even the developed markets. If I take U.S. Treasuries as a case in point, you know, it swings by 15, 20 basis sometimes intraday, and the range of expectations or the range of yields in the U.S. have moved from like about 340, 3.4% to 5 to back to 3.8 to now back to 4.3. So we haven't seen that kind of volatility in India, and hence it has given very stable, very good returns to the investors in the country. Various factors play a role in this. Hats off to the central bank, of course, but the entire macroeconomic situation of growth in India and kind of contained inflation has helped us to hold steady on our interest rate cycle and also reduce volatility as compared to other countries. Other things play a role also in outperformance of India is this whole emerging markets allocated global capital tending to move away from traditional large countries like China or Russia for geopolitical reasons and coming to India. So it's been fairly a very good ride, low vol, high return ride for bond investors in the last 2-3 years.
So recently, interim budget was announced. What were the key announcements that has influenced the bond market or the fixed income market?
I think the most key announcements, because it was an interim budget and not a full-fledged one, as we know, I think the most essential and important announcement was around the management of fiscal deficit, which is anticipated to be lower in 23-24 on the forward guidance. And subsequent to that is that the gross government borrowing program for financial year 24-25 is anticipated to be much lower than what the market had expected. I think this was singular most important announcement from interim budget, which did cause a subsequent rally in government bond yields. And that tells us that, you know, there is more room for fixed income growth in other asset classes, whether this SDLs or corporate bonds, etc. But that was a single most important factor, this budget.
Okay, got it. So for some time, we have been hearing about the inclusion of Indian bonds in JP Morgan index. How is it expected to change the bond market landscape, fixed income market landscape in 2024?
I know a lot has been written on this, and I will answer this question in two parts. One is the immediate effect, right? So it becomes comes into effect from June 24 on a scale basis, and also then Bloomberg has included it in the global index, which has a much smaller component size. So naturally, you know, we expect to see 20 to 30 billion inflows. Index inclusion gets passive global investment allocators to allocate to a certain country in case they have to replicate benchmarks, right? So that becomes a very important new investor class, which is a consistent, almost a consistent investor class in a country's economy and financial markets. Apart from the short term, what index inclusion has done has put Indian fixed income on the global radar. We have spoken about this index inclusion since about 10 years or even more, as far as I can remember. But it's not only about the immediate money that would come in, but money comes in to start in the risk-free asset of the government bond market. And over the years, the midterm to long-term effects of this is quite significant for a country. Because let's say we have a certain proportion of benchmark, $20-25 billion that might come in, that people might go overweight, underweight, and consistently as the country's economy grows, that percentage will keep growing, percentage of allocation that is required in an index. So from a long term, 3 to 5 to 10 years, this is fantastic news. It brings a new large compulsive investor, I say compulsive because these are index trackers, into the country, and also puts us on the global radar. It's not an off-index bet in global asset allocation. So really, really tremendous development.
Right. So one of the key factors, other key factors that have influenced fixed income markets, bond markets, over the past few years, obviously interest rates globally and in India, and we are expecting rate cuts this year. What kind of impact are you expecting on the fixed income market when central banks begin to reduce rates?
No, absolutely. So I think by the nature of the instrument, if we have interest rate cuts, we do see consistent price rally in bonds or a lowering yields. Hence, I think this the timing to invest in fixed income is right now. We are close to, if not at the peaks of the interest rate hiking cycle. And as central banks, and I'll stick to the India story, start cutting rates, it becomes a buffer, right? You have one less uncertainty or exogenous factor to deal with. If the trajectory is of cutting rates, then you're potentially not only sitting on good interest income, but potential for capital gains. However, I will do comment that in my personal view, interest rate cuts are not very imminent. Markets in the US at least keeps repricing or pricing it little away from like an immediate action. So earlier being in June, I do see similar effects in India. So I do not see imminent interest rate cuts, but more so maybe on the other side of the election. So in 3 to 6 months time. However, I don't see any hikes. So which means you consistently earn returns with the potential of good capital appreciation closer to the end of the financial year.
Right. So two points you mentioned, that first is the time to invest in fixed income market is now, but the second point is the rate cuts are not imminent. So given this, would it be better for investors to wait for some time and see to get a clearer picture of when the rate cuts will happen, or should they get into it right now?
No, absolutely. So my point is not only in fixed income, the returns are dual, right? One is the interest income that you earn, and then there's a potential for capital gains. I think if you have to show a performance over a sustained period of time, you are only happy as long as interest rates are not going higher. So I say time is now, because the exact timing for any asset class is very difficult to determine. And if we could, we would not be sitting here. But we have held rates steady since last 1 year, and people have earned accrued interest and interest income pretty well. I think you start making and investing further into fixed income securities, looking at potential capital gains in 3 to 6 months time.
Okay, got it. So looking at the market setup, we are expecting bonds to do well. But at the same time, if you look at the equity markets in India, I mean, all-time highs are here. The markets have been hitting all-time highs. And in global, the markets are also doing well. Equity markets are doing well. So given this, both sides, what is your outlook on equities and maybe fixed income?
I'm not a champion of equities, so I'll refrain from commenting. But all I will say is, obviously in India, we are a very equity-aware, equity-dominant financial investors, right? So, and for a myriad of reasons, right? Because as a classic emerging market, that's where growth comes. The India growth story for the next 10 years looks pretty solid and pretty intact. So, But I will talk about is about diversification of portfolio. I think it's pretty sensible to acknowledge that no one should put all eggs in one basket, or only have one form of financial investment, whether it be real estate, gold or equity, which are the top three in India. And hence, I think a balanced portfolio where a certain part of a portfolio, you know, give or take, internationally, they talk about a 60-40 rule, where 30-40% should be in regular income assets. Now, hence, I think even in spite of equity markets, which might go higher following the Indian economic story, one has to diversify. One has to look at a regular income stream to supplement whatever your main course of work or line of business or job might be. And that's where fixed income plays a very important role. And why now is because until a year or two, people didn't know how to do this, right? Before the advent of the online bond platforms, which started about really 3 years ago and got regulated a year and a half ago, people didn't have a choice. People didn't know how to do this, where to go for this. But now we have these online bond platforms with technology tool available. For example, on our platform, indiabonds.com, you can come and buy a bond in 5 minutes. So people knew the importance of this and probably use fixed deposits, which are low yielding, as a proxy. All we are saying now is, yes, go ahead, chase the equity story. I'm not the expert, but you do know that you need to diversify. That 20, 25, 30, or even 40% of your portfolio should be in interest-bearing or income-bearing instruments, and hence the idea of investing into fixed income right now.
Can you give an insight into the consumer to the investor trend on your platform? What kind of products are they looking at? What kind of duration they're looking at?
So I'll take a back step and I'll say on our platform, we are regulated SEBI OBP licensed. We only show listed and regulated products. We stay away from structured investments because I think people still have to learn what a basic fixed income instrument is and not get confused. We offer everything from a government security to a high yielding 12.5-13%, A- to BBB+ corporate bond. What we think, and at any point we have 125 to 150 bond choices or securities to choose from. So on one hand, we do see people who are more conservative and go for like a government security 7% to a AAA rating of 8.25%. But on the other hand, I do see a lot of guys who are putting 1 lakh, 2 lakh, 50,000 tend to go for a higher return, tend to go for a 10 to 11 to 12%. Of course, there's full disclosure in terms of information memorandum, rating rationale reports, which are available on the website. The trend that I see in consumers is the smaller tickets actually go for higher yielding, right? So if a person is investing 10,000, 50, 1 lakh, 2 lakh, they would like that investment to make a substantial difference or relatively big difference. What do I mean by that? When a person is investing in equity, theoretically, you know, you could expect much, much higher returns, of course, much higher volatility. But for a person whose disposable income to start fixed income is 50,000 to 1 lakh, wants a higher return, wants to make a meaningful impact to his finances. However, as the kitty grows bigger, when I see disposable incomes or investable incomes upwards of 10 lakh, 20, 25 lakhs, I see a little more conservative approach there. I have a customer who has a portfolio of 100 bonds, for example, and most of them bought on our platform, but would invest right from AAA to very high yielding and maybe does its own portfolio construction. So larger size of investments tend to be in the mid kind of a double A range, but people are looking and, you know, for a higher return, have smaller investment sizes, look for higher returns.
So when we talk about equities, we have conservative, moderate and aggressive investors as per their risk profile. How can one understand their own risk profile in debt fixed income investments?
All this is pretty mathematical or proven industry about probability of default. But as I said, you know, typically a person, you know, we would see an investor saying, no, I only want to invest in public sector names or bank names, right? So I would call them to be more conservative investors. Or we would see people saying, okay, I like the interest rate cycle. I'm going to buy a 20-year, but only a government bond or a state development loan. So I consider them as more conservative investors. So being conservative or aggressive actually in fixed income can be determined by the ratings of your investment. There are credit rating agencies which are regulated, which assign a credit rating to the issuer. So obviously Government of India is risk-free. Certain public sectors is AAA, AA+, AA. So a good way to choose is go by a rating metric and say, okay, if I move down the credit curve from a AAA to a AA to a single A to almost a BBB, I'm supposed to get higher rates of interest and returns. And let me see from a range of 7 to 13% where I sit, right? So there are specific ways to determine where your risk appetite lies. On the other hand, then, you know, we always encourage people to read about the investments before they make, so they kind of get an idea. I think thanks to technology, the information dissemination, the education, the learning is on a high scale right now, unlike what 2 to 3 years ago when people didn't know about what they are investing into. There are various opportunities for people to learn about their investments.
Right. Right, Vishal, so my last question is, given the current environment, market environment, how can an investor construct a robust debt portfolio?
I think given the current environment, and we spoke earlier about that, how I think about 30% to 40% of your financial security investment should be in fixed income. Typically, I think high yield or aggressive bets, by high yield, I mean a single A to A minus triple B paper, should be about 20% of your portfolio. The liquid part of the curve, so either you go for government securities or AAA assets, should be 25% of your portfolio, and 50 to 55% should be assets which are in a so-called straddling a AA category, which yield you anything depending on your credit choice between 9 to 10%. So if you need urgent money, you can actually quickly sell your very liquid AAA PSU assets, but also you have on the other end kind of a barbell strategy, where the high yielding, which is 11, 12, 13% after you've done some research yourself, gives you a very nice blended return. The other important part of constructing a bond portfolio is the cash flow keeps coming in very regularly. So we have a tool called portfolio analysis where our investors use, and they can plan the entire cash flow. So if you have a 8 to 10 diversified bond portfolio, every month you'll get some regular income. You'll get opportunities to reinvest and invest in new ideas. So building a portfolio, keeping rating and return metrics, and so-called laddering, which is, you know, have 1 year, 2 year, 5 year maturities, will help you build a robust portfolio against any exogenous shocks, right, which is a rapid interest rate movement, one particular sector going bad, or a particular segment of the market being illiquid. For individual investors, it's always important to make sure the platform you are buying is a SEBI registered platform. And if you're buying listed bonds, that are a better thing, because listed bonds are under SEBI regulation purview. So unlisted or unregulated fixed income assets, you should be a little careful about.
Thank you, Vishal, for talking to us and explain aspects of fixed income investing in detail.
Thank you, Abhinav, for the opportunity.